As much time as you get. Got your Bibles open? Let's open up the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. And we'll look at where trouble started tonight. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter 3. You find that place, you're able to stand together. And we give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Book of Genesis chapter number 3. I want to look at just a couple of things here. And maybe the Lord will help us. I sure hope that He will. You pray that the Holy Ghost come by and would touch us real good. Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter number 3, and of course most of you are already familiar with the story between the temptation and the fall of man. I'm going to pick up in verse number 15. The Bible says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and unto thy conception in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Notice verse number 18 particularly, he says, thorns also and thistles shall bring it forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return into the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time, and to God I sure thank you for the help tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for the good liberty that I've already felt in my heart. And God, I pray for a few minutes of time. Hey, God, you to help us to preach the gospel as it is. Father, I have little doubt in my mind as I stand here tonight. Hey, God, that this is the scripture and the message of the hour. Father, I just pray. Hey, God, you to help me to say everything that you'd want me to say. And God, help me, I pray. Refrain me from saying anything that I do not need to. Father, I pray. And Lord, we are not tonight interested in being the Holy Ghost. Father, I just want to be a mouthpiece and to let you be God. God, I pray that, Father, that you do all the drawing. I pray you do all the convicting. And God, I pray you do all the comforting. And Lord, I'm asking you one more time tonight. And God, you touch us afresh. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, make preaching easy. And Father, I pray if it can't be easy tonight, I pray, Lord, please make it effective. And Father, I pray, Lord, if this would be the last time that I ever get a stand and say anything about you, Lord, I pray tonight that God help me to say the best thing that I ever have. And thank you, Lord, for loving me. And thank you, God, for reaching out to me. And God, when I didn't have enough sense to reach out to you, Lord, I love you. I bless your high and holy name. I ask you all these favors in Christ's name. And for his sake, I humbly beg and ask. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. I'll say this to you tonight, of course. Everybody here is very familiar with the fact that when you come to Genesis chapter 3, it does not take long for mankind to mess up how good that it has been. I got thinking about this tonight. I want to say this. My friend, we understand that God's already clothed them there with the coats of skins. And to thank God, I believe it was a lamb. And the reason I believe it was a lamb is because that's the only thing that's been killed up into this point. And the Bible said he was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. If there's nothing else been dead, I don't know what else it would have been. Amen. But I'm saying this tonight, friend. And when you come to this text, God has pronounced upon them judgment and curse. Here's what I want to preach on. Lord, help me. At verse number 18, the Bible says thorns and thistles. I got thinking about this text and I thought, really what you find here. And so the very first visible sign of the curse. And my friend, you understand up until this time, and whenever Adam walked out in the garden, he didn't have to get out no weeds. He didn't have to run off no predators. He didn't have to get away from any little foxes. It was time to spoil his vine. And thank God it was a perfect environment. And all he had to do was drink.
it and keep it. That's what the Bible said. I thank God. Listen, dressing it seems a lot better to me than having to hoe out a row. Amen. Dressing it seems a whole lot better to me than having to turn over the ground. I don't know what it used to look like whenever it yielded its strength to it, but I dare say that, thank God, that if in Canaan's land it would yield up grapes and was big enough to be bore between a staff, I'll assure you whatever happened before the fall of man, that was far better than that. Amen. Hey, it's until, and thank God, what that crown yielded. But one day after the curse, I don't know, thank God, I don't know just exactly how it happened. What I know is, it's one day Adam gets up, and as he gets out there, maybe it's a bean picking time. Everybody's about to harvest everything that God had. Maybe when he went out there for the first time, and he reached in there to pick something, that had always been real good, and now all of a sudden, for the first time, it was something that stuck him. There was something that pricked him. And my friend, he had to recoil back from that. And he said, that hurt. Amen. I want to say this. You know what that was? That was the pain of sin. Amen. I want to remind you every day that every day when you and I face sin, there's pain in our lives. It comes as a result of this right here. Amen. And the pain in your body, and the pain in your mind, and the spiritual pain, and the physical pain. And there wasn't no cancer before the fall of man. And there wasn't no backaches before the fall of man. And there wasn't no dementia before the fall of man. All of that happened right here. Amen. And so I see him go out, and the first thing I thought about is that it demonstrates the pain. But the second thing I'd say about that thorn is it didn't take too long till it showed him the penalty of sin. Hey, you say, preacher, what is that? And the penalty of sin is death. Amen. And you say, how's a thorn represent death in Matthew 13? And what we find is this. And whenever that sower goes out and he begins to sow the seed, and thank God he talks about how things come up. And one of the things he said was that the seed sprung up. He said, but then it was choked out by thorns. Amen. I'm saying this to you. Those thorns, and they choke out a lot of life in our lives. Amen. Hey, so a lot of folks tonight, thank God, hey, you'd be doing pretty good if it wasn't for the fall. Amen. I mean, life be going pretty good for you if it was not for the fall. But I got thinking about this. I want you to listen. And I'm going to preach the message. I'll not be long tonight. But I pray that you'll listen real, real good. But thank God what we find is his. And knowing is there a penalty of sin, the pain of sin. But then I thought about the progress of sin. I want to say this. Anybody in here ever planted thorns? Amen. I don't know anybody ever. I don't know anybody ever that's went out and said, I want you to look. I planted a whole row of thorns right there. And man, don't those things look good? I've never seen nobody do that. Ain't it an amazing thing that you don't have to plant thorns and yet thorns grow? Amen. And I'll say this, thank God. And you can find over there in the book of Proverbs chapter 24. And the Bible said that he went by the field, and the slothful and by the field, and the man that's idle. And the Bible said that his field was covered in thorn. I promise you this. You ain't got to do nothing for thorns to grow. But if you don't do something about those thorns, they will take over. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. I was thinking about a field that I turkey hunted one time and maybe the year before. Man, it was a nice field. And you could tell somebody went in there and they had to have been bush hogging, if they'd been fertilizing. And all it took was 1 year. And the next time I went in there, I'd seen a thorn bush here. And I'd seen a thorn bush there. But then the next year I went back and the whole field was taken over by thorns. I want to say this, and I want you to hear me, and you'll get there with me in just a minute. If you don't do something with the thorns in your life, they will take over. Amen. Oh yes, hear me today. Those little things are there. And so I thought about, here's the blessing. And I hope that God will make this real clear in our life today. If there is ever a point in your Bible where we can see the sovereignty of God and the grace of God, it has to be in how God takes the thorns and he takes the curse. And to thank God in Genesis, all we find is the pain and the penalty and the progress of sin. But then thank God, God, by the time you come to Revelation 22, verse 3, it said there was no more curse. Amen. No more, there'll be no thorns in heaven. Amen. Thank God, mark this down. There'll be no thorns in heaven. And there'll be no thorns, thank God. And when there's a thousand-year kingdom and things are good, amen. At the best I understand, I'm saying this to you, friend. And you say, what's that got to do with anything? It's an amazing thing how God can take something that the devil intended to hurt man all the days of his life. And instead of hurting man, God can take it and be a help to him. Amen. It's the very definition of Romans 8:28. And we do know, thank God, and we ain't forgot that yet, have we? And we know, thank God, that all things work together to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Everything might not be good. Everything might not look good. Everything might not feel good. But I'm telling you, thank God, even the thorns of life, by the time God gets done with them, they are good. Amen. Unless I'm going to give it three things tonight and I'm going to be done preaching. I'm just simply, I got thinking about this. This way my mind works. And you just bear with me in my folly. I thought it's called a curse. That's C-U-R-S-E. A curse. Amen. And I thought, you know, one of those letters looks a lot like a devil. That looks a lot like the snake. And if I were to remove that S out of the word curse, I no longer have a curse. And now I've got the cure. Amen. And if the Lord help me tonight, I'd like to preach on how God takes a curse and he turns it into a cure. Amen. And boy, thank God. Listen, I'm already happy whether you are or not. Amen. It's an amazing thing how that God can take something that's designed to inflict a harm and pain in our life. And before God gets done with it, it's no longer a curse, but it's a cure. Amen. I'm going to give you three or four places tonight and I'll be done. Open up your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea. I'm going to show you, first of all, how God uses the thorns. I thank God to be the cure for the prodigal and those that have went astray. And let me stop right here and say, thank God for the thorns that kept us in the will of God. Amen. And thank God, look up here at me. I want to say again, I sure thank God for the thorns God sovereignly placed to keep me in the will of God. Amen. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Hosea. Everybody, maybe you're not familiar with Hosea. And this is a mighty terrible story. And thank God we find there's a lady. God tells Hosea, he said, I want you to go and I want you to have a wife. And the Bible calls her a wife of whoredoms. He said, I want you to have children of whoredoms. In other words, he has two boys. And thank God ain't neither one of them his. They belong to somebody else. And look here, friend, that'd be mighty hard. That'd be mighty, and you say, preacher, why would God do that? Because God's going to demonstrate how his grace looks past somebody's sin and pulls them back in. Amen. And thank God, listen, you better thank God that he does. Amen. And you say, man, I would never do that. I would never do it. Could I ask you this? I had an honest heart tonight. I wonder how many of us here have ever cheated on God. Amen. I mean, I wonder how many of us in here have had more folks, have more idols than wing shake, have stick out. Amen. And I'm sure glad that there's a God in heaven that keeps luring us back in. Oh, yes, watch this. And watch what the Bible says in the book of Hosea chapter 2. And this is what he said in verse number 6. He said, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and I'll make a wall that she shall not find her path. And the Bible says, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. I like what she says here. He says, but then And shall she say, and the Bible said, I'll go and return to my first husband. And for then it was better with me than now. Amen. I'm going to say this, thank God. I'm glad God uses thorns to direct our paths. Amen. I mean, listen, I don't know how many times in my life, and it's untelling I'd be going down the wrong way. I'd probably end up in the wrong place. But God brought some pain in my life. I mean, God brought something and he hedged up my way. And the devil said, God's going to get him now. But what the devil didn't know was God was using the curse to bring forth a cure. It wasn't because God was against me. It's on account of God loved me. Amen. I mean, I say hallelujah to God. I'm sure glad to tell you God in heaven. If you belong to God, you mark down what I'm saying tonight. If you belong to the Lord, he'll only let you go so far. I mean, thank God he won't let you. And just keep going and keep going. Oh, I'll tell you what he'll do, thank God. I've got evidence in my own life. I'll tell you what he'll do, Brother Peel. He'll talk to you softly. And Brother Tamar, he'll say it. And to Brother Dustin, if you belong to God, God, he'll get to talking softly to your heart. And he'll say, oh, don't you remember? And when it was better than it is right now. And you know what most of us will do? And Brother Matt, most of us are rebels. And so when God's talking, I'm real quiet. And we just ignore him. And we keep going our own way. And here's what happens, Brother Kim. And we know there's a line out there. And we'll put one foot on it. And y'all that's got little kids, you understand. And we'll put one foot across that line. And put one hand on what we ain't supposed to be doing. And we'll turn back around. And we'll see if God's going to do something. And when he don't do nothing, and thank God we'll take a little step further. And we'll turn back around. And we're still waiting. And God says, you better not do that. And you better not do that. And no, listen, because he talks real quiet. And we thank God ain't watching. And we'll just keep taking a little step further and further away from God. And then I'll tell you what happens. And God starts getting a little louder. And he says, you better not do that. And you're going too far. Amen. And you're going too far. And you're going too far. And you say, what happens then, brother? I'll tell you this, thank God. If you won't listen to the quiet voice and you won't listen to the loud voice, it'll not be too long, thank God, until the hand of God that chastens and will come down and get a hold of your life. Listen to me, friend. And the Bible says that God has no delight in the death of the wicked. I mean, listen, thank God, I want you to hear me. And I want you to hear me well. And God will, thank God, get your attention if you belong to him. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. I mean, he'll do it, thank God. He'll do it, amen. I know it by experience. As the Apostle Paul told Timothy, I bear in my body the marks of Christ. I bear in my body the chastening hand of the Lord. Tanner, it's real, amen. I've sat in the house of God, and to think of look up here at me. I ain't always tried to be right with God. I'll just be honest. As a time, even as a saved man, Brother Delmer, there was a time that I thought, hey, man, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go my own way. And thank God, listening to the preacher had preached, and I just sat there. And I'd like to tell you the Holy Ghost dealt with me real strong. But really, thank God, I believe I wasn't even in a place much. And Brother Matt to be dealt with. But it wasn't too long, thank God. I was driving out, look here, I don't care if you believe this. It really don't even matter to me. I know what's right. And I know what happened. I was driving down the road one day in a 1986 Ford F-150 on the old schoolhouse road. And Brother Jess, I went around the curve. And when I'd go around them curves, I'd like to drop the clutch. And I'd like to drift around those curves. I'm sure nobody in here ever drove like that. But no matter, that's what I did. And one day I was driving around through there. And I had my buddy with me. Old Nick Ellis was sitting there. And Brother Bill was going out through there. And old Nick said, brother, he didn't call me preacher. That's far from it. He said, Kevin, he said, listen. He said, I had a dream last night. And he said, man, I dreamed me when I was in trouble. trouble. And I said, oh no. He said, what? I said, when I left church last night, I said, the old preacher said, I've been praying for you. He said, God showed me he's going to get your attention. And I, God is my witness, I'm a bit more got that out of my mouth. I lost control of that truck. And thank God he went through the windshield. I wrapped it around a ditch. And Brother Delmer, as soon as I got out, all I could think about was God's going to get my attention. All I could think about was that there was a God in heaven that said, you ain't going no further. You are not going no further. And I thank God for it. Amen. Oh, yeah. Thank God. I didn't have enough sense giving out of the rain. But I'm sure glad. It was a time God hedged up my way with thorns. Amen. That didn't feel good. You say, brother, what'd you do? I went to church. Thank God. And I got right with God. Amen. Oh, yes, good friend. I'm telling you, I thank God that there's a God in heaven. That'll hedge up. Listen, look what the Bible said. And the first thing he did was he detained her. He did not let her go the way she wanted to go. He didn't let there's something. And God said, okay. I mean, just like going down these aisles. Hey, you're going to go this way all you want to. But thank God there's something right here that prevents you from doing that. And you say, preacher, what's that look like? It looks like the good grace of God. Amen. It's the grace of God. And why all of us ain't in worse shape tonight than what we are. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. I'm telling you. And the first thing he done was he detained her. And then I thought about that been good enough if he just didn't let her go her own way. But it was got better than that. And God said, I'm not just not going to detain you. He said, I'm going to draw you back. Hey, you know what all those troubles was for? How those troubles show? How was it so she would get in that place and she would hit this wall? She'd hit this wall where it hurt. And she'd hit that wall where it hurt. And thank God she'd go this way where it hurt. And she'd say, I don't know why I'm doing this. I remember there was a time and it was better than it is right now. Amen. And I want to say this. And thank God, I'll tell you, good neighbor. I know there's sometimes that the devil, he draws folks out through temptation. But don't you ever forget, if you are saved and by the good grace of God, there is a time that it was better. It was better. Amen. Oh, I'm glad the Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard. Amen. Have somebody look up here at me. Hey, you know why it's hard? Amen. That's not where God designs you to be at. Oh, thank God. And so you come in and I mean you're trying to rebel against God and go your own way. I'm telling you, first of all, God will use thorns. I thank God to direct your path. Hey, listen, I'm glad. I still remember. And I got thinking about this the other day. And some of you look here, he's in heaven now. I really do believe that. But I got thinking, Vic, about old Anthony Huff. And that night we all went over his house, Brother Dustin. He was in a bad way. But you know what that was, really? That was God hedged up his way with thorns. And God said, you can't go no further than you can right now. And we prayed half a dozen times. And thank God that night. And he said, I still ain't got nothing right. And I told them fellas, I'm going to the house. Amen. And they said, surely we ain't going to leave and leave this fella in conviction. And like he is, I said, that's best place for him to be. He don't need me, thank God. He's done got a hold of God. Amen. And I'll never forget those of us here still here. But that morning, that Sunday morning, thank God old Anthony pulled up and he pulled in the third parking spot over from that side. And when he got out and he shut the door behind him, he wept the whole way across the parking lot. I mean, he didn't need just as I am to be sung. And thank God he didn't need preaching to be done. He was a God in heaven that done hedged up his way. And he said, there's got to be a better way than this. Amen. And thank God, guess what? He found out there was. Amen. He found out there was. I'm telling you, it's a good day. Amen. whenever folks get their way heads up. Help me, look here, I don't want nothing bad to happen to nobody. I don't want no trials. Help Davis, I don't want no tribulation. Help Blakely, I don't want nothing bad to happen in your life. Help Zachary Evan, I don't want nothing like that. Help it, I sure pray for all of our youngins. I pray God will hedge up their path. That God will hedge up their path. Happily thank God before they get in the wrong relationship, and before they go down the wrong road, and before they show up with the wrong people, and before they end up in the wrong places. I hope the God of heaven will hedge up their path. Amen. Oh, yes. And so I thought about this first of all. I'm glad God will use that to cure you. Amen. Thank God. Listen, she ended up going back. One of my favorite stories in the whole Bible is, you know, you understand this. That story started off with he married her. And that was a voluntary relationship. As she entered into it, and so did he. But by the time you come to chapter number 3, she's on the auction block and nobody wants her. And then what Hosea does is a dual transaction. Thank God, not only is he married to her, and so he's got a legal contract, but then he purchases her. Amen. Now he's hurt. Now she is his property. Amen. I just say, what's the big deal about that? That's the same thing happened to you and I. On Calvary's cross, God purchased us. And thank God. And when he wooed us, we entered into a loving relationship. And so thank God, I'm glad tonight that there's a God in heaven that hedged up our way. Amen. I'm sure that. I'm sure there's folks in here tonight that could testify. And I'm not listening. There's just some things. Hey, some people I know won't get mad at me and I can use them. Amen. And they some I don't know if they will or not. And they some, I'm quite sure if I ever use them, they would never come back and they'd talk real bad about me, all right? But I won't forget. Brother Gavin, I'll not forget when you came in the church house that day. And in the old church, and old Nathaniel Ender come up and he said, "You ain't gonna believe this." He said, "There's Gavin Cook." Amen. He said, "There's Gavin Cook." And you know what happened in Gavin's life? Had there been some preaching CDs made his way back into his hand? And what happened really? I'm putting words in his mouth right now. But Gavin can testify if I say it wrong. And what really happened, Brother John, is that he got to hear old Harold preach again on a CD. And the Holy Ghost got to dealing in his heart. And he remembered when it was better then than it was for him now. That's right, thank God. And so he hedged up his way and he came back in the house of God. And I'd say this, he'd testify, and so would Casey, and one day so will Maggie, and one day so will Casher. And they'll say, "Thank God, God hedged up my daddy's path and he put them with thorns." Amen. And Brother Doug, thank God, holding his hand up back there. Oh, Huey Hines went down there and he hedged up Doug's way with thorns. Amen. And Doug thought he was doing pretty good. And old Huey Hines stopped by and said, he said, "Don't you remember that thank God your parents had you in church and you got two little boys and you ought to have them in the house of God too. And you know what God done right then?" He said, "It was better than it is now. It was better than it is now." And thank God. Amen. I mean, I'm about to run on that one. Amen. If the old hip wasn't hurting me, I'd have done made a laugh. Amen. I say, thank God. I'm glad God loves us enough to pull us back in. Amen. But then I thought about this. Not only does he love us, and he'll turn that curse into a cure for the prodigal. But then I thought, secondly, he'll not just use thorns to direct your path. But I'm glad for the shame of God, he'll use the thorns to develop you. Amen. And nobody likes it. I thought about this. Watch this. You understand over there in the scripture in 2 Corinthians, and the Bible teaches us, the Apostle Paul, and whenever he gets to preach it, and he gets to let me just read, I think 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and when he gets to testifying over there, and the text says it like this. He said, "Lest there should be exalted above measure and through the abundance of revelation." He said, "There was given me a thorn in the flesh, and the messenger of Satan to buffet me." He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." He said, "But he said, and my grace is sufficient for thee." He said, "Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, therefore I take pleasure, I thank God, in reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. He said, for when I'm weak, he said, then am I strong. Amen. And I thought about this, Brother Delmer. I can see the old devil, and he takes that curse. He takes the old thorn, and he says, I'm going to get pawed out. And he gets that stick in his flesh. But here's the cure. Here's what God does, Sheila. God takes what the devil's trying to use to get him discouraged. And Brother Chase, instead of that, God, thank God, uses that to prevent him from ever looking like the devil. Amen. Oh, Paul said this. He said, I could be exalted above measure. And he said, but I don't want to. In other words, he could have been lifted up with pride. That's what got the devil. Amen. And the devil said, I believe I'm going to poke him. And God said, go ahead. I'm going to let you poke him on account I don't want him lifted up with pride. But it was the will of God. Amen. It was the will of God. I'll tell you three things that I thought about it done. And number one, it got rid of his pride. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad tonight. Hey, you know what helped some of us? Amen. Listen, I'm talking about, hey, some of us need to be humbled. Amen. That's just me and Davis was talking. Brother, son, however you want to call that. We was talking the other day, Kelsey, riding down the road. And we was talking about particular things. And we just got talking about this. And I don't think we ought to ever forget that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Amen. And to thank God, and there's some folks that they're so proud, thank God. I mean, listen, they could never get no help from God if they wanted to. Oh, yes, listen to me. You hear me? And you say, why is that? On account of God resists the proud. And you say, I'm in the house of God. I'd sure like to get some help. And thank God, I wonder why God don't never talk to me. I'll tell you this, if you'll ever humble yourself down the side of God, he's just liable to. But as long as you sit chock full of pride, you ain't never going to get no help from God. He resists the proud. He resists the proud. I thought about this. Thank God it affected his pride. I thought about secondly, it affected his prayer. Amen. Listen, you know what's real good about thorns in our flesh? Yes, it does affect our prayer life. Amen. It does affect our prayer life. Y'all agree with that? It does affect our prayer life. I'm telling you, thank God. Listen, it don't matter if the thorn's up here, if the thorn's in this, or if the thorn's right here. I'm telling you, wherever there's a thorn at, that really hurts you, it will affect your prayer life. Hey, you can't be hurting, thank God, and not get to praying about it. Amen. I promise you this. I listen to me, thank God. Nobody had to remind my mom and dad to pray for my dad when he was going through leukemia. Amen. And nobody had to say, hey, Dad, did you pray about that today? And nobody had to say that. Amen. And when folks are grieving, and nobody has to say, hey, did you pray for that? Thank God. Oh no, when you're bearing a heavy load and nobody's got to come by your way and say, hey, have you thought to pray about that? Oh no, thank God. And when you get in those situations, it will reveal your character. You'll either run to the bar and run to the world, or you'll take what you got and you'll bring it to God. You'll say, God, here it is. Amen. And then there's a look up here, and then there's those spiritual people, you know. Brother Rick, we all know him. Thank God. Have they lived just a little too high on the spiritual hog for me? And they'll say something like this. They'll say, well, if you was really doing business with God, you'd have prayed about that thing one time and you'd have trusted him with it, and that'd have been all she wrote. The only problem is the Apostle Paul, more spiritual than all of us, thank God, and he prayed about it three times. Amen. And so I'm certain if there's anybody that knew how to give something to God, Paul knew how to give it to God. But he was talking to God about it, and it wasn't going away, and so he kept talking to God about it. And that's the only thing I know to do. You say, preacher, I prayed about it, but I'm still dealing with it. I talk to God about it again. Amen. I take it to the Lord again. I just bring it all to him one more time. Amen. It affected his prayer life. But then I thought about this. It affected his perspective. I mean, look at me, friend. God will give us thorns. And to everybody, listen to me. If you've been on this road very long at all and you ain't had a thorn in your life, there's something wrong with the way you're walking. Is everybody all right? I'm talking about this kind. I'm talking about this kind. Because if you're going to do something for God, the devil's going to try to do what he can to mess you up. And you are going to have to bear some thorns. Amen. Hey, but I thought about this. You know what the Apostle Paul, watch this. If you don't listen to nothing else, have me listen to me right here for just about 3 minutes. Can you tune in? Can everybody dial in? Even our ADD people, can we dial in for about 3 seconds? A 90-second TikTok or whatever. I mean, that's about what time. I used to say people could listen to preaching for an hour. And then we got down to about 30 minutes. And the TikTok's about to ruin us. If we don't say something real good in the first 90 seconds, everybody's already ready to surf to find the next thing. Amen. And so I hope God will help me preach longer. Amen. Get us back used to long preaching. Thank God. I'm saying this, and listen to me. There is a progression that happens in the life of a believer when something really hurts. Now, the first thing we go through is we say, God, remove it from me. That's what Paul did. Thank God. And Paul said, I don't want this. I want you to get rid of it. God, I want you to take it. I promise you this. Anybody in here gets diagnosed with cancer, there's nobody the first time you pray, there's nobody in here saying, God, thank you so much. I've been waiting my whole life to have stage 4 cancer. Amen. That just don't work like that. That's not how it happens. Amen. How we come to God and we say, God, I want you to remove it from me. But then that's not where it stops at. At first he says, Lord, remove it. But then he says, Lord, he said, I'll glory in it. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God, if you want me to have it, I'll do the best I can to try to bear it. Amen. And sometimes, listen, I don't have no choices in my lot in life, and you don't neither. Amen. And some of us going to have dementia. And some of us going to have cancer. And some folks probably in here going to live to be 100, and some might not make it to 50. Amen. And we got no control over none of that. But I'm going to tell you this, thank God. I hope God will help us all get to a place where when we receive it, we can bear it for the glory of God. Amen. But that's not where Paul stops. And Paul says, God, no, he starts saying, remove it. And then he says, Lord, let me just receive it and glory in it. But that's not where he stops. He said, therefore will I take pleasure. He said, God, I want to rejoice in it. I mean, listen, what a blessing. And whenever that thing that the devil had tried to use to hurt you and to hinder you and to stop you ends up being the thing that you are the most thankful for in your life, on account of how it brought you closer to Christ. Amen. Ain't that an amazing thing? Oh yes, I'm saying this. We find how God takes that curse and he turns it into a cure. He takes those things, thank God, that's the roughest times. Man, we feel like fighting hell and it's all uphill. Amen. Amen. And listen, thank God, look here. When it's a Monday every day, amen. Y'all don't have Mondays, I'm sure. Y'all skip straight. Y'all live in Fridays every day, amen. I'm saying this, thank God, there's some days that every day. How many you wake up from the time you get up? And you know, here's the thing about it, Sophie. Here's what the devil does. Yep. It's oftentimes not a lot of thorns, not a great deal. It's oftentimes the same thing. Right. And the devil, what he does is he finds that sore spot in his cricket and he just keeps pushing on that same spot. And he pushes on the same spot. And we'll say, man, I thought I had victory there. And that spot will heal up for just a little bit. And then Pat Forlong, he'll come over and he'll just poke that same spot. And we'll say, man, that thing hurts again. But then there gets to be a time, Paul says, go ahead and poke it. Amen. Go ahead and poke that thing right there. And say, don't bother me over here, devil. I want you to poke that thing one more time. Because every time you try to remind me of how much this hurts, God's reminding me of how much grace he gives. Amen. 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 Some of us, it's the past. And every time we try to do something for God, he just comes over. Oh, listen. But then we get a look back and we say, thank God where sin did abound. I'll tell you, if there's ever a Bible verse I'm glad I learned that one.
If there's ever a Bible verse that I quote to the devil, I don't quote Deuteronomy much like Jesus did, but I quote that one a lot. I'll say, oh devil, that's right. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So he turns the cure. Listen, I want to say this. I want y'all to listen. I'm gonna be done. Turn with me in your Bibles just real quick. And we'll look at one more place in Matthew chapter 27. I'm saying this. God uses thorns to direct and to cure the prodigal. God uses thorns to develop and he cures the prideful. But then also God uses the thorns to deliver and he'll cure the perishing. I thought about this, Brother James. That ain't an amazing thing. Matthew chapter 27, when the Lord Jesus Christ gets ready to get on the throne, they do not crown him with a crown of leaves. They don't put on him a crown of palms. They don't take a crown of gold. They don't. I understand. Don't get so much into the fact that you know what this is and miss the fact that it is the sovereign will of God that God wore a crown of thorns on that day. It was not man that put that there, although in a sense it was. It was the God of heaven that gladly bore what he bore that day. And I'll tell you what I think. With all my heart, I think every time we read that, God wants our attention to go back to the garden. And he said there was a place where man wrecked it and thorns entered the world. But on this day today, I'm going to rectify it. Thank God I'm going to take what man messed up and I'm going to make it as right as it could ever be. I'm going to take, thank God, where man made death, and by God's good grace, he said, I'm going to make the gospel, amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah. I want to make life. Yeah. And an amazing thing, God, I think first thing God wants us to be mindful of while he's on the cross is the garden. He don't take thistles. He don't take herbs. He don't take corn. He takes thorns. I believe when he bears them on his head that whether or not man sees what's happening that day, that thorn and thistles is in verse 18. But if you back up exactly three verses to verse 15, verse 15, that's the first place in Genesis where God ever tells how the devil's going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise his head. In the garden, God took those thorns and he bruised man's head. But on Calvary, God took those thorns and he bruised the devil's head. Y'all listen to me? Oh, what I wish I could preach a little better. I'm saying this to you tonight. I think it reminds us of the gospel. I think it reminds us of grace. And we look up there and we say, God took all the curse. That was everybody's bad sin, and he bore it. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13. Bible says that God made him to be a curse for us. Ain't that a blessing? I mean, he redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse. I thank the Lord. I'm saying this to you. When you look at Calvary, you say, preacher, what's the big deal about thorns being there? It's a reminder to every sinner and every perishing person. Right there and only there is where you can get that fixed. You'll not get it fixed. Stand to your feet. I'm done preaching. I'm done preaching. I don't know where you stand at. Maybe you're a prodigal here today, gone wayward. Maybe you're here and you're a saint of God and you're just battling some hell. Maybe you're on your way to hell and you need to get some help. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's happening in your life. What I know is this. God uses the curse to bring the cure. And I sure think